The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 5, on page 970 of the Pew Bibles. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Joy Maudsley. I'm the associate rector here, and it's lovely to be with you this morning. Please keep your Bibles open or whatever device you're using to look at the Bible. It's page 970, if that's helpful for you to follow in your Bible. Let's pray together. Lord, teach us to pray. This prayer is so familiar to us, and so we pray that your Holy Spirit would come and teach us all something new that we can take away, that stays with us this week, that helps us to pray. Amen. Now, many of you will know that I sit on General Synod. It's like the National Assembly of the Church of England. It meets two, sometimes three times a year, and it's responsible for making church law, as well as debating all sorts of issues, from the slave trade, to safeguarding, to same-sex relationships, to evangelism, to climate change, and clergy housing. Last July, I was sitting over lunch with some other clergy, and we got to talk about going to church when you're on holiday, and how to choose where you go. I leaned across, and perhaps foolishly said, "I have to confess that when I'm on holiday, I often don't go to church at all." And there was this tumbleweed moment where the disapproval hung in the air and I sat in my shame for a little while. Now, we've just come back from a week in Brixham in Devon, and this time I went to church in the Baptist church there last Sunday. It was lovely to go and to join others in worship. And at that church, their focus for this year as a church is, Lord, teach us to pray. And like them, that's our prayer for this half of the term. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is asked this by his disciples, teach us to pray, Lord. And Jesus' response is to give them what we know of as the Lord's Prayer. Here at St. Nick's, we have a vision document that says that prayer is essential for everything we do as a church, and a goal that says that we want to encourage and enable everyone in the church family to connect with our prayer life together at different times and in different ways. It's that goal relating to prayer that we're wanting to focus on this half term. It's going to include our participation this year in the Global Prayer Initiative in May, Thy Kingdom Come. And so for these next 5 weeks, we're going to go small picture and look in detail at the Lord's Prayer. We've just finished a sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, of which this prayer is, of course, a part, but we didn't look in any depth at the prayer itself. And as with the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, so with this prayer, it has a number of surprises in it. And today we are simply looking at verse 9. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." When you pray, says Jesus earlier on in our reading, don't do it for show where others can see you. And when you pray, don't use lots of words. The pagans of Jesus' day, the non-Jews, would use long and complicated words that they repeated over and over again to persuade some god or goddess that they should show them favor. And it was never clear what mood the god would be in and how they might respond. Prayers were only effective, were only appreciated by the deity if they were long. The more you said, the more you would be heard. What sort of God would be impressed by the mechanics of prayer, by the statistics of the volume of the words you've used or the hours that you've spent praying? Do not be like them, says Jesus. Why? Because you don't believe in that kind of God. He is a Father God who knows your needs before you ask him. We don't pray to inform God of things he doesn't know about, or to get him to do his duty, or to wake him up, or to force him to do something for us that he would rather not do. We pray to encourage ourselves to seek him, to exercise our faith, to think about his promises, to pour out our anxieties to him. Jesus is not forbidding long prayers or even repetitive prayers, but what is key is that any kind of prayer, any words used, including the Lord's Prayer, must be prayed with the heart and the mind as well, coming from a desire to seek him, to engage with him. Otherwise, we are simply babbling. Most people pray sometimes. Recent research done for the Church of England in 2022 shows that nearly half, 48% of adults, have prayed at some point, and 28% said that they had prayed in the last month. It might be simply shouting into the night on the off chance that someone is listening, or it might be knowing God's presence each day in a very real way. Perhaps most of us are somewhere in between. But in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives a pattern to copy. It can be used as it is, or as a guide from which flows all our other prayers. Sometimes I've used the Lord's Prayer on my own in my prayer time, taking each section as a heading and then using it as a launch pad for my own prayers on those subjects. We are in good company when we use the Lord's Prayer, however we use it, for Jesus himself has said, "This then is how you should pray." And as I said, we're simply this morning going to look at that verse, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Notice that the prayer begins with "our Father." This is a prayer for praying on our own, but it's also to be prayed in community. Imagine how selfish the prayer would be if "our" became "my." It's a prayer that reminds us that we're not isolated individuals. The Christian faith is meant to be experienced in relationships, in walking with other people, an expression of the relationship among God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We live in a culture today that has become more individualistic, where community is not easily come by. Census figures of 2021 tell us that 30% of households are people living alone. Increasingly, the couple relationship is where all our expectations are placed for love and finance and family and friendship. We struggle to keep in touch with childhood friends and wider family. We move away. We're often no more than nodding acquaintances with our neighbours. And into all that, we pray, "Our Father." We are called together and not to travel alone. The church is a fantastic place for all ages to mingle and to form friendships. I remember in our last church, my son Tom, who was about 13 at the time, was delighted to get relationship advice on how to attract the ladies by a 91-year-old man that he met. This is a prayer that unites us, whatever our age or marital status or abilities or gender or race or class or denomination, we draw together with God as our Father. And even when we pray the Lord's Prayer on our own, it's a reminder that we're caught up in something much bigger than ourselves. We pray this prayer with Christians everywhere, all over the world. And the prayer of the church on earth joins with the prayer of the church in heaven. The Christian faith is not an individualistic faith. Like a coal that falls out of the fire and goes cold, so with us if we try to live the Christian faith on our own. We need to have the support of one another. And Jesus emphasizes that in one word here in this prayer. And then we pray to our Father. This was radical of Jesus. Where the Jews did address God as Father, it was as King or Father of the nation. Here Jesus uses the word Abba for Father. It would have been shocking. It's a child's word, Daddy. It's a radical way of thinking of God. It was intimate and close, and we're to grow in this kind of intimacy with God, come to a place of love and security with him, trusting him and that he always works for our good. I wonder what you think about when you think of your dad. Perhaps your relationship was characterized by formality without expressing emotion. Perhaps you haven't known your father at all. Perhaps he was loving, unreliable, great fun, angry, generous, safe, absent, abusive, kind. There was a poignancy for me as I wrote this sermon yesterday because it was the second anniversary of my dad's death. And when he died, I realized the security I got from him just being there. None of us will have the same experiences of being parented. Even our brothers and sisters that we grew up with will have had different experiences. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." He shows us the kind of parent that God is. All that you need, all that you wished your earthly parents might have been. He is those things. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, and get to know the kind of person Jesus is. We are to pray to our Father, the Father who made us, the Father of Jesus who has rescued us through Jesus' death. And he is our Father over again, and only truly our Father, if we've been adopted as his children by faith in Jesus. We can only approach God as Father because of what Jesus has done. That struck me anew this Easter. We pray to God our Father in this service, on our own, at Encounter on Tuesday, but we do all that only because Jesus has opened up the way for us to do so through his death on the cross. We pray our Father. And secondly, he is our Father in heaven. Notice the balance in this opening to the prayer Jesus taught us. We address God intimately as Father and immediately recognize his greatness with in heaven. God is personal and loves us and cares for us, but he's also powerful and great. He combines fatherly love with heavenly power, which has got to be a winning combination for the God you want to be on your side. This phrase, in heaven, is not so much about where God lives, but the fact that he has power and authority. We can come to him in confidence that he can answer our prayer, but even when he doesn't, this is our declaration as to who he is. It's about truth. that we address God as our Father in heaven is not about the correct etiquette for approaching him. When you meet the king or the archbishop or address a judge, you need to know what's the acceptable term. Your Majesty, is it okay to use my Lord or Madam, or is it your Grace? It's not about those things in the Lord's Prayer. It's about truth. It's about coming to him in the right frame of mind before we begin. Before we pray, we deliberately recall who he is. Then we come with humility and devotion and confidence. Ecclesiastes 5 says, "Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few." There is something about remembering who you are in relation to God. To pray to our Father in heaven brings together these two essential strands of a Christian understanding of God. As Father, he is with us, present in our world, and offering us his love and security. As our Father in heaven, God is beyond our experience and exalted beyond what the human mind can grasp. Jesus combines those two truths in one phrase. If you lose sight of either of them, your understanding of God is distorted. Given the right to address God as Father might lead to a matiness that reduces God to our level and is irreverent. He becomes tame and domesticated and lacks the depths of glory and power. If God is just a heavenly deity who we are in awe of, then he is remote from human concerns in his majesty. He's aloof and we can't know him. We need these two truths together. Our Father in heaven. When you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, use these words. Mull them over. Remember who God is that you're bringing your prayers to. All-loving, all-powerful. May that make you pray with confidence, security, and humility. And remember, that is who he is. And that never changes, no matter what happens. We declare our faith in who he is when we pray the Lord's Prayer. And given who he is, it then becomes possible to pray the next bit. Because thirdly, hallowed be your name is our next phrase. I wonder what you know about your name, why you were called what you were called, what your name means. Perhaps you were named after someone in your family, perhaps your parents just liked the name. In Jesus' day, names were really important. The name chosen was so important, more so than it is for us in our culture. The name was bound up with the person in some way. The name and the qualities associated with the name went together. I've always felt there was a risk attached in my parents calling me Joy. And Faith is another name that might just not fit the person with that name. After half term, we're going to be looking at the book of Malachi. And we'll cover amazing things for the Old Testament. We'll cover divorce and giving money and leadership and judgment. And we'll see Jesus and John the Baptist in the Old Testament. But Malachi's name means messenger, bringing God's word to God's people, exactly what Malachi did. And then there is the name Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Matthew talks about it early in his book. He is to be named Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Names and expectations and God's plans all tied up together. So when we say, "Hallowed be your name," that's about all the qualities that we see in God. They're all tied up with his name, his love, his justice, his provision, his wisdom, his kindness, and his power. His name is already holy, so our prayer is that he will be kept holy. Our concern is that who God is and all that he stands for should be held in proper reverence. That's our priority in the Lord's Prayer. And if you think about that, that's revolutionary. That's a bit counter to our culture. Today, so many are after fame. They want their name to be known. It's the way to success and to happiness. But the Christian has a different concern, that God's name is respected, is lifted up, that he is glorified. That's our top priority in life, not living for ourselves. It's seeking to ensure that the divine name is used in reverence, watching our own language, noticing and minding when people use God's name or Jesus' name as a swear word. But it's also a prayer that God will be seen to be holy and be treated as such. Because of who God is, we seek to lift his name on high, to worship him. And as we seek to hallow his name, so our attitudes, our words, and our actions will begin to express our devotion to this God of purity and love. And we pray that in our church and in our world, due honor will be given to him. That's our desire. It's easy to simply use the words of the Lord's Prayer, but to sincerely pray in this way that we have been taught changes our priorities and how we live. The question of one of the commentators was, what image of God lies behind your prayer? Turn back to Jesus' teaching that God is our Father in heaven, who loves his children with tenderness, sees them in the secret place, knows them and their needs, and acts on their behalf by his heavenly power. When we come to pray, we are to recall his character as the first thing that we do, starting our prayers with him and who he is. And that will affect all the prayers that follow. And it won't just be words, but exactly how we should be praying. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we thank you for all that is just tied up in that short phrase. We thank you that you are our Father. We come to you together, and that you are loving and heavenly Father. Help us when we pray, Lord, to start with you, to start with who you are, and to pray from there, to pray from that place of sincerity and devotion to you. And please be with us over these next weeks as we delve into this prayer in more detail. May it change us. May it change how we pray. Amen.